We're looking at those three verses we began our service with at the end of Numbers chapter 6. If you want to find them in the Bible, we'll be looking a little bit at the context. Page 141. Just that when you thought we've left behind the book of Numbers, just dwelling a little bit further on his most famous part, this prayer for God's blessing. And you'll see from chapter 6, verse 22, there's a bit of context. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites." So this was regularly said over the people by the priests, like Aaron. That's why it's often called the Aaronic blessing. Say to them, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." So this central prayer of the Old Testament is going to be our verse of the year for 2019. And in the next few minutes, we're going to read it out loud together, so that hopefully we'll have committed it to memory by the end of the service. I hope you'll be able to say it without needing to look at the screen. But let's say it together once now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So this is the message of this text. How blessed God's people are. How blessed God's people are. Now, it's not hard to find that theme of blessing in our culture today. I was looking at song lyrics recently, and Christina Aguilera brought out a song called Blessed. She says, "When I think how life used to be, always walking in the shadows, when I look at what you've given me, I feel like dancing on my tiptoes. Every day I pray when I realize you're by my side. I know I'm truly blessed for everything you've given me. Blessed for all the tenderness you show. Do my best with every breath that's in me. Blessed to make sure you never go." Clearly, she's finding blessing from a romantic relationship with someone else, but there's insecurity there. What if she loses that someone else? And so every day she has a price to pay to keep them. She's got to do her best to make sure he never goes. Perhaps that may mean she has to pretend to be someone else sometimes, or she has to keep him happy, bargain for love, or else he'll leave. Ironically, it's a blessing marred by anxiety and insecurity. That's how it is today with so much blessing. It's ironic blessing. Not so with the Aaronic blessing. See what I've done there? This is unconditional. This is wonderful. If God chooses you, makes you his own, puts his name on you, then you will be blessed. It's greatly reassuring. There's no need for anxiety or insecurity or bargaining. It's just joy. How blessed God's people are. And over the next few minutes, we're going to ask three questions about this. Firstly, where does blessing come from? What is blessing? And who gets blessed? Firstly, from where does blessing come? Well, I hope this is pretty obvious. It's from the Lord. Every blessing comes from him. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And that's emphatic here. His covenant name begins every line of this prayer. Let's say it aloud together once more. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Now, who is the Lord? Well, he's the one true God who made the universe, the holy, perfect God of love and justice. He's the promise-making God. And when he first rescued Israel from slavery and death in Egypt, he gave them a special name to call him, the Lord. It's something like Yahweh in Hebrew. And we know him today by a new covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the same Lord, the one the Old Testament was always pointing forwards to. But first, we had to see the problem in humanity. We see it in Israel. They kept seeking blessing elsewhere. They forgot where blessing came from. They turned back to Egypt, or they relied on the Assyrians to protect them, or they manufactured gods like the nations around them. They sought blessing in all the wrong places. And God summarizes their waywardness in texts like Jeremiah 2, verse 13. My people have done two evils. They've turned away from me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own wells, broken wells that cannot hold water. It's sheer madness. There's this bubbling spring welling up forever in the town center, and instead of quenching their thirst with cool, fresh water, they decide to dig their own wells. That's the picture. Down they dig, down in the dirt, slaving away for the promise of water. And then they pause to quench their thirst. They fall face down in the dirt, only to find mud. This is a broken cistern. It cannot hold real water. So they dig themselves deeper into trouble, down and down in the desperate search for blessing. And that's a picture for the human race. We are not that different to Israel, because we often seek blessing in all the wrong places. For example, we might shop for the perfect bargain or the latest gadget. It doesn't really satisfy. No flimsy commodity really can. We'll be back digging around in the shops before too long because we forget that the greatest delights can't be bought. Or maybe we dig around for a satisfying relationship. Many unmarried people long to be married to someone special. Many married people long to be married to someone else. With parched souls, we say, God, if I just had them, I would be happy. But all along, He is the great love that we were made for. Still, there are countless other wrong places we seek to be truly blessed. Just think about what makes you most frustrated in life. Or analyze what your deepest anxiety is, and you'll likely have found that broken cistern in your life. The ironic blessing you chase. The shaky blessing that you fear losing. For a friend of mine, Charlie, the ironic blessing is respect. He's a hard worker, but he works hard in order to gain respect. And so he slaves away to ensure that everyone likes him. And he fears being useless. The nightmare he has is that he'll have an accident that will render him unable to walk or talk. And he's like, what if I couldn't be useful? I think he resonated with Thomas the Tank Engine. Don't know if you remember Thomas. The catchphrase of the Fat Controller, or Sir Topham Hatt, as he's now more politically correctly called, his highest praise is this: you're a really useful engine. That's why Charlie is a workaholic. He wants to hear that. I wonder if you're slaving away, digging hard for appreciation. Actually, what you need is unconditional esteem, undeserved love. It's the kind that only God can give. So remember the answer to question one. From where does true blessing come? It comes from the Lord. I love verse 27. It completes this wonderful prayer, really. God says this: so they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. And the I there is emphatic. It's I myself will bless them. And why is that? It's because His name is on them. He says, I own this people. They are my treasured possession, my forever beloved people. And so they don't need to seek blessing anywhere else. Now, in a few minutes, we'll think about who those people are. Before that, let's ask our second question. What is blessing? Blessing comes from the Lord, but what is it? Is it possessions? Is it human affection? Is it esteem? Well, if you believe many preachers on the God Channel, it's health and wealth. Serve God and he'll heal you. You'll have it all. You'll fly a jet like me. But even Seneca, the Roman statesman, could tell you, money has never yet made anyone rich. Although God provides for his people, true riches are not on earth. He's the true riches that we need. Like the way Matthew Henry clarifies the issue, he says, worldlings make gold their God, saints make God their gold. See, like everything else on earth, gold is flimsy and fleeting. But God is the greatest delight, and he never changes. So we're going to look again at this benediction, try to fix it in our minds. This tells us what blessing really is. Let's say it aloud together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's good. Some of you are already shutting your eyes. That's a good sign. Trying to get it in our minds. We've seen this prayer has got three sections, each starting with God's covenant name. But there's more. This is a beautifully crafted poem. Each time that you hear God's name, it's followed by two verbs. The first one's kind of poetic, about the Lord moving towards his people. The second unpacks that by talking about the Lord's activity. So in line one, God's blessing is God's keeping, about his protection. Line two, God's shining face is about his grace. And line three, well, God's face turned towards or lifted upon you, in the old versions, that's about his peace. He gives peace. And that's actually the climax of this prayer. It's the ultimate blessing. This sacred poem actually crescendos towards that climax of peace. Because in the Hebrew, the first line has got three words and 12 syllables. The second line has got two more of each, five words and 14 syllables. And then the last line has got two more again, seven words and 16 syllables. So the message is that blessing isn't simply to be in God's safe keeping. It's enjoying a face-to-face relationship with him of grace. And more than that, it's enjoying the peace that only God can give. What are grace and peace? Well, grace is God's love for undeserving people. He saves them from death and hell. And peace is God's restoration of broken people, making them holy and happy. Ultimately, we only receive those things in the Lord Jesus. The New Testament says that he came from the Father full of grace and truth. And Ephesians 2 says that Jesus is himself our peace. And that's why Paul the Apostle most often prays a blessing on the church like this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. God's love for undeserving people. The Lord Jesus saves us from death and hell. Peace. God restoring broken people. Because the Lord Jesus makes us holy and happy. You see, the divine peace that's promised is far more than some kind of subjective calm that comes and goes. It's far more than the absence of conflict. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which means wholeness, well-being, salvation, reconciliation with God and with man. So it's not just a restfulness inside. It's an objective thing. Jesus objectively makes us complete. He reconciles us to God. He brings us into that loving family forever. That's peace. And when you think how Jesus did that, just been celebrating in the Lord's Supper. Jesus, the most blessed being in the universe, who was publicly declared to be the Son of God at his baptism. God said, "This is my Son, whom I love. I'm well pleased with him." Well, if you're united to Jesus by faith, you share in that favor of God. God looks on you with as much affection as his son. Meanwhile, all the condemnation that you and I deserve was placed on the Lord Jesus. As he died on the cross, the holy king owned the sin of his people. And so the blessed Son of God there was no longer blessed. The sun stopped shining, for the Father's face no longer shone on the Lord Jesus. The Father turned his face away from his Son and poured out his crushing anger against sin. So on the cross, Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was bruised for your iniquity and broken for my sin, abandoned for our faithlessness. So for him, there was no peace, so that the peace of God could be ours. So that the debt would be paid, and so that nothing in all creation could separate us from God's love. Now, united to the Lord Jesus, the Father looks on you and me, and he smiles. His face lights up every time that he looks at you, because he looks at you through the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine God's face shining on you with delight? You just think of young lovers walking along in the park, arm in arm. It's a lovely spring day. And they just radiate in love. They're chatting, they're gazing into one another's lives, they're sharing, they're adoring. You can almost see the gap under their feet as they walk on the clouds, glowing with joy. Well, that's like the shining face of God on his people. He's besotted with us. That's his grace and his peace warming our souls. Sadly, some of us never experienced that at home. We never knew the smile of a parent. Their face rarely shone on you with love. You seldom knew their favor turned towards you. And it brings grief because deep down you have embedded in you an instinctive expectation of the true Father. And God is that Father. The one who beams down his fatherly pleasure. When he looks on you, his face shines with joy, like the sun beaming down warmth and life. And one of the main ways he brings this home to us is by his word. Passages like Numbers 6. So let's rejoice in this again. Let's say it aloud together once more. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So we know, firstly, that blessing comes from the Lord. We know, secondly, it's the blessing of his grace and peace above all. We've got to ask our third and final question. Who gets blessed? You might say, I don't deserve this blessing. I know I don't deserve God's grace and peace. But do you think the Israelites did? Nope. But he still blessed them. Fundamentally, those who are blessed are those who ask for it. Who seek God. He reaches out, takes the initiative, offers it by his covenant. But those who receive it are those who ask for it, who receive the gift and unwrap it. For example, you look at the beginning of chapter 6, you'll see this prayer comes after the regulations for the Nazarite vow. God specified how old covenant people could devote themselves to him, seek him, and so receive his blessing. But the blessing was not just for those particularly consecrated Nazarites. It wasn't just for the Kenites. It was for all of God's people. The priests prayed this for the Israelites. All of them. So you notice a word that occurs in these verses 6 times. Can you spot the word that occurs 6 times? You. You. The people of God. delight in this prayer as a promise to you. Notice that God takes the initiative. He reaches out and blesses freely. There's no sense in which you have to pay him for this. And that flew in the face of so much religion at the time. The nations around Israel were adamant you had to buy the favor of the gods. People still think that way today. If you want God to love you, you've got to tick all the boxes, pay the money, do the rituals, be a cut above the rest. But there's no hint here that any of us has to pay to be loved. See, the glorious news of the Bible is that God's love is free. Because Jesus paid for us. So just turn to him and ask. Maybe you know the story of Jacob in the Bible book of Genesis. God promised to bless him even before he was born. But Jacob was a nasty piece of work. Even his name means swindler. He spent his whole life trying to steal and swindle blessing from others. And so he swindled his brother Esau out of the family inheritance. And then Jacob fled for his life like a weasel. In his exile, he worked as a shepherd, striving with his uncle Laban in order to gain daughters and his sheep. And then he decided to slink off back home. And on the way, God met Jacob. God was in human form by the Jabbok River. And Jacob started to wrestle him all night. But he just couldn't win, funnily enough. There was no way that he could demand God's favor from a position of power. Instead, God pulled Jacob's hip out of joint. And he realized he was the weak one. All Jacob could do was to cling on and plead for blessing. And only then, on his knees, did he receive what he had been promised. See, God blesses those who humbly ask. Still, Jacob had to meet his brother Esau, who still wanted him dead, as far as he knew. So Jacob hatched a plot, a plan, to buy his brother's favor once more. As he was approaching his brother, he sent ahead numerous parties with loads of gifts to appease his angry brother. He says this in Genesis 32, "When I see Esau's face, perhaps he'll lift up his face." Or to use the NIV paraphrase, "perhaps he'll turn his face towards me." And to Jacob's astonishment, Esau embraces him, freely forgiving. He didn't need all the gifts. Grace was there already. He didn't need cajoling. And it's the same with God. You don't need to trick him. You don't need to wrestle it from him. No need to make special vows like a Nazarite. No need to pay him. Simply recognize Christ has already paid. And the Father's love is free. As Jesus says, in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." Notice that the Father's favor isn't given automatically to all of humanity. It's only given to those who ask Jesus as their King and Savior. Now, there's some sat here today, I suppose, who've never experienced God's grace and peace. They're still thirsty deep down. You still know those ironic blessings that you slave away for, but never truly satisfy. Well, today's a good day to give your life to the Lord Jesus, to ask for his peace. Submit to him as Lord and Saviour. Trust him. And in him you will receive the greatest blessing ever. To know God face to face. To enjoy grace and peace. And I guess most of us have already experienced that, sat here this morning. For us, the problem is that we doubt that God truly has our back. We doubt that he smiles on us. In our trials, we doubt that he's working to sanctify us. In our failures, we doubt that life will ever improve. We face anxiety and we turn to the false gods of food or shopping. Or we face emptiness because we depend on gaming or porn or work or romance. We easily seek blessing in so many wrong places. And we experience that inner thirst that only God can quench. That's why God gave us this prayer to use so frequently. It reminds us where blessing comes from. It's from the Lord. It reminds us what true blessing is. It's grace and peace. And it reminds us who gets blessed. Those who ask the Lord Jesus. Let's say it aloud once more. After the final song, I'm going to test you. So let's try and embed this in our memories now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.